I'm not rushing items Y or Z, however. Item Y, AOC restructuring, Kurt Soderlund, info item only.
Thank you, Chief. Z's going to join me up here also. So this item is to respond to a number of directives. Actually, there were 11 directives that dealt with the directives that were adopted by the council, and it deals with cost-benefit analysis for major projects going forward. So the idea here is to adopt a program whereby we would get input and collaboration from stakeholders for these major projects, with an emphasis on transparency, consult with the council and executive and planning as necessary, a complete analysis of scope, development of accurate cost estimates, and the identification of funding consistent with constant collaboration with the Fiscal Services Office, the application of cost and contract controls, including monitoring, full documentation of the decision-making process, and once again, transparency and consideration of the fiscal, operational, and other impacts in the courts and stakeholders. So Sulaco, in my experience in terms of dealing with the Department of Finance, we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So the Department of Finance uses something called the Budget Analyst Guide, and it has many attributes. Among them is cost-benefit analysis and looking at all the various political and fiscal issues that stakeholders would want to be concerned about. So on November 25th, Judge Jarre approved the approach of creating a template that we would use internally within the AOC, and that template is called Request for Approval of Project Proposed Form. And that material is in your binders under item
C. Attachment C.
Okay. And so I'm not going to go through all the various bullet points, but it obviously identifies the requesting office, what the project title is, the summary, estimated costs, how it's going to be dealing with the impact analysis, things of that nature. And obviously on something like this, since it's kind of a more new, sophisticated, structured approach for us going forward, it would not be applicable in every single instance. So as an example, if we have more minor projects, that level of effort would not make business sense. But let me try and identify an example where the application of this approach would appear to make some sense. So as everybody is aware, Phoenix Financials has been deployed to all 58 courts. The payroll is in 8 courts. We're adding on a 9th court, and 10 and 11 are kind of in the queue. These are all small courts. But another one of the attributes of Phoenix that has had a level of interest from the courts is that we have additional modules that we've never deployed, but they're in our bag of tricks, so to speak. So as an example, among these other modules that there has been an interest in deals with a module for fixed assets, that's inventory control. Another one deals with learning and training. And a third one deals with budget projections. All three of these areas have had a high level of interest from a number of courts over time. When the fiscal crisis hit and we had to suspend deployments of the payroll, still waiting in the wings was this issue of additional functionality. And then let me use fixed assets as an example of where this analysis might make sense. So fixed assets, it's a very robust tool, and it would be applicable certainly to all the major courts, but deployment of fixed assets to a smaller court, and I'll use the extreme example of Alpine, would make no business sense whatsoever. So this would be a very robust electronic way for courts like Los Angeles and Sacramento, Riverside, Santa Clara to maintain current data on their fixed assets. So that would be an area, as an example, where we might do an analysis to say, where should the fixed assets module be deployed? Now, the opposite of that would be on the budget projections, where certainly every single court would want to have access to that budget projection manual to make that process easier and in theory more accurate, too. So that would be an instance where we would recommend that we do the full-blown analysis using the templates that are in your handouts at this point in time.
I would add this. Seven of the 11 recommendations that were adopted relate to CCMS. It was a specific chapter in the report, and it noted many of the issues that you heard today from the presentation by Judge Herman. And so even before we had finalized this document for sort of AOC use and from within the branch, the concepts were already finding their ways into the major initiatives of the branch. And so while we're doing this work on this BCP, the ideas of benefits and costs, stakeholder managing costs, understanding all the benefits, our analysts right now are working with each court to thoroughly evaluate what are the costs, what are the benefits, and in some cases they're not quite sophisticated enough to appreciate, you know, what an avoided cost may be. That's part of the analysis. It's a cost you don't even have to incur. That's part of the analysis. So that's important that we haven't – this isn't just something that we just started now. It's been something since the directives were adopted that we were thinking about how we can work this concept of evaluating costs and benefits. The next aspect of the proposal is ensuring that we do this on a consistent basis across the organization. And when I was at the Department of Finance, I conducted the analysis training for new analysts so that they – all looked at the same, at the issues in a similar fashion, because what we didn't want was one unit looking at a proposal for Department of Consumer Affairs with a different critical eye than being looked at for Department of Health Services. It was important that we had consistent approaches as we looked at evaluating proposals. And so using that expertise that I have, the materials that we've gathered from the Department of Finance and the Department of Human Resources that also has modules on training for analysis, we're going to be training our staff here to do the same sort of review that we expect to have happen for the council when it considers proposals. So like I said, we want to make this a robust, evolving process, something where all staff are trained for this type of analysis and that it's consistent so that we're not seeing it sort of more robustly applied in one area versus the other, because any resource needs should be sort of weighed and evaluated with the same basic tools. The depth and scope, though, is, you know, can vary based on the nature of the proposal. But we do want to make sure that we sort of weave this concept of having an analysis done and evaluating pros, cons, costs and benefits of items that we think are necessary and taken forward for your consideration.
And recall, a version of this has already been put into application in terms of recently the council voted on a technology project with regard to assisting the Fresno court in getting off the V2 version of case management systems. And there was a cost-benefit analysis in that effort that identified that over a 2 to 3 year period, there would be costs that would not continue to be incurred, and then that savings from that effort would go back into the IMF for the benefit of all the courts. So there is some application of this that has already taken place.
Thank you. Any question or comment? Judge Walker, then Judge Jarre.
Thank you, Chief. I just want to thank Kurt for the work on this and Flatco. This is something that is near and dear to the heart of the SEC because it grew out of a problem. And now we have an approach that I think will be in play. And I think sort of understated in the report is that in a way the wheel isn't being reinvented. These are approaches that have been used in other agencies in state government and private industry as well. And so I think it's good that we're doing that. And the other sort of nuance that I think you don't get credit for in this report is that there is another consistent approach of taking into account the needs and collaboration of the courts, the users. And I think that's something that we've seen here again this morning when we talked about technology, that we're kind of coming from the ground up and there's greater collaboration. And that is something that you should also get credit for in applying this approach. So thank you.
Thank you for those comments.
Thank you, Judge Walker. Judge Jarre.
Yes. Well, first of all, staff expresses its gratitude in turn to Judge Walker for his leadership on this issue. I have yet another typo I would like to correct, if you don't mind, and that is in Attachment C. Attachment C to the report found under Item Y. First paragraph under the heading Policy Statement, second line, the word proceeded is meant to be preceded. We'll make a correction.
Thank you. Any further questions or discussion?
I just want to thank Olivia Lawrence, who really, that works for Kurt, helped sort of divert and time away from her regular hours of work to help on this. So I should really appreciate that. I want to just make that point to the council.
Thank you, Zlotko. Thank you, Kurt. And thank you, Judge Walker, for those comments.